Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning was the beat, and the beat was the rhythm of God, and the rhythm of God is the harmony of humanity, and where there is harmony, there is peace.
Peace.
Thank you so much. Welcome back. We want to go ahead with our Thursday night call, and this is our Thursday night Dare to Win call. Dare to Win is the Us Lifting Us Economic Empowerment Plan, which is a sober discussion of the systems and institutions necessary for real economic empowerment for our people. The systems and institutions of the past have not worked. New models are required, and Us Lifting Us is leading the way in building this new economic paradigm. It is not enough that we struggle. We must build and maintain ways and means that ensure our success, not only for ourselves, but for future generations. As ULU, we dare to win. ULU, which means stands for Us Lifting Us. I am Brother Thurman, one of the board members with Us Lifting Us, and we invite you to participate in this conversation with us tonight. And you can reach us by telephone at 929-477-2789, 929-477-2789, and press 1 on your keypad when you're ready with your questions or comments. And you can also reach us at Blog Talk Radio by Internet. And I'd like to welcome and introduce our co-host for tonight, Brother Kimbizi. Brother Kimbizi, how you feeling tonight?
Good evening, Brother Thurman. I'm feeling outstanding. Glad to be here and looking forward to our conversation tonight.
Beautiful. Good words. And so good to be in your company once again. Family members, go over the question for our beginning topic tonight. The questions are we black? Are we African-American or are we African-descended? What say we and why does it matter? And Brother Kimbiza, give us your thoughts about that, those questions.
Well, thank you, Brother Thurman. Yes, we are black people, but that descriptor alone does not connect us to a land base or a culture. Are we really African American? Brother Malcolm X said, just because you put kittens in an oven doesn't make them biscuits. Just because we were imported to America beginning in 1619 doesn't make us Americans. Yes, we arrived here before the Mayflower, but what we have failed to understand is that the title American is reserved by white people for white people, white immigrants from Europe. America is the land base that white European immigrants stole from the indigenous population at gunpoint, then waged genocide against them, reducing their numbers from 20 million to a half million, then drug millions of Africans here to work the land for free as enslaved people for 246 years. This is the truth that Donald Trump represents, and he is the spokesperson for the 40% of the American population that supports him. It is time we stop pretending that we don't understand this fundamental truth about America. This is why we must stop trying to crawl up into the belly of this beast, talking about we equal. Equal to what? Murderers, butchers, rapists, child molesters, pedophiles, thieves, gangsters, and liars? If the presidency of Barack Obama taught us anything, it is that America will not be transformed into an egalitarian society. Just a couple of weeks ago, Donald Trump said on national news that he was a nationalist, meaning he was a white nationalist. Let's unpack this statement and understand its implications for black people, not only in America, but around the world. A nation. From the Latin root, nasi, meaning born. In other words, at the root of this word is the idea that a nation is a large group of people, relatively homogeneous, who share common birth, that is common ancestry, common language, common history, and common land base. So Donald Trump was saying that he is for white people maintaining their power, privilege, and ability to dominate the world. He is not talking about sharing power. He is not talking about coexistence with other groups. He is not even talking about cooperation with other groups. He is saying that he is staunchly for continued white domination of the entire planet. And 40% of the American population say amen to that. Our esteemed elder and now honored ancestor, Dr. Francis Cress Welsing, explained to us 3 to 4 decades ago why white people can't accept non-white people as equals and live peaceably together with them. White supremacy, racism, nationalism is a global system of domination and control whereby people who classify themselves as white dominate and control people they classify as non-white, and here's the most important part of this, for the purpose of genetic survival. Dr. Welsing went on to explain that white skin is the result of the lack of a pigment called melanin, which causes the skin to be colored. If you have a lot of melanin, the skin appears black or dark brown. If you have little melanin, the skin appears white. Now here comes the problem for white folks. Melanin is a dominant genetic trait. When people who possess large amounts of melanin have sexual relations with people who lack melanin, the offspring come out colored. That is, the children are no longer white. They are a mulatto. They come out looking like Barack Obama. From a genetic standpoint, then, people who possess melanin could wipe out white people in a few generations if people who possess melanin are allowed to have unrestricted sexual relations. Dr. Welsing shared that when she was speaking to groups of predominantly white people, she would ask them the question, how many of you are comfortable having colored or mixed grandchildren? She said, not one hand would go up. This is why white people feel it is imperative to control the behavior of melanated people. For them, it is a matter of genetic survival. So white people are playing domination and control of melanated people who come from Africa, and black people are confused about our African identity. Black people must soon come to realize that we share a common ancestry, a common language, a common culture, and a common land with Africa. It is our place of origin. Africa is our birthplace. Black people exist in America as an African nation living inside of a European nation. The history of colonial America is the history of the struggles of Dutch, Italian, French, Spanish, German, and British immigrants, each vying for who among them would ultimately control the American land mass. What all of these groups have in common is they come from Europe. They all lack melanin, and they all appear to be white. This is why European immigrants are welcome in America, while Africans, Hispanics, Muslims, and Asians are resisted and restricted. Black people in America are being aggressed upon because we are melanated and because we come from the richest continent on the planet, Africa. So our behavior must be controlled and our wealth stolen to maintain white privilege and white power on the planet. The only intelligent course of action for us, then, if we plan to survive and overcome the continued assault against us, is to organize our own economy, our own institutions, political, cultural, etc., but to organize ourselves as African people. We must identify as black African descended people. Let me pause there and see if there are any questions or comments, Brother Thurman.
Yes, thank you so much, Brother Kimvizi. Family members, we certainly want you to be taking notes and taking heed of what was mentioned and all of the things that many of our people still have not allowed their minds to get acquainted with, and much of what's including about Dr. Welsing, what she taught in her writings and in her presentations, and including her book, The ISIS Paper. But Brother Kimbizi, we do have someone that would like to comment, and just want to reach out to that person. Caller, last four of your telephone number is 6093. Please give us your name and tell us where you're calling from and your comment or your question.
Greetings, greetings to all. This is Sister Nanana, and I'm calling from Denver, Colorado.
Greetings, welcome.
Thank you.
Good to hear your voice, Sister Nanana.
Pardon me?
I said it's good to hear your voice.
Ah, thank you. Well, it's good to be heard. And this is a very vital and important topic that's being addressed this evening, and thank you. I appreciate you all bringing this topic to the forefront. And I have perhaps it's a statement or a question concerning how we identify ourselves. I have concern as we continue to identify ourselves as African descended people on this continent, because that separates us and takes us away from our claim to the land. Whereas if we identify ourselves with a nationality that does have claim to the land, and many of us were here on this continent even before the slave trade started. As a matter of fact, that could be a whole another discussion. There are some who say that only about 10% of us came over on those slave ships, that 90% of us were already here, that we are the original Aboriginal people who were called Indians, the word India coming meaning black. But I guess what I'm getting around to, I'm asking you, Brother Kimbizi, what are your thoughts around that, particularly when we talk about how to gain economic power and to grow in the future and to have wealth, and land certainly is wealth. But as African-descended people, we have no Aboriginal claim to this North American continent. So what would be your response on that? And thank you for letting me ask the question.
Thank you, Sister Nanana. It's a very important question. One response I would share is that all civilizations began in Africa and then migrated out from Africa to other parts of the globe. We also understand that at a very early time in the history of the planet, that the landmass was contiguous. In other words, it was much closer together. But the idea that I'm working from is that the earliest civilizations began in Africa and then spread around to the rest of the world. When we argue for an African identity, what we're arguing for is African philosophy, African value system, and the recognition that we as a people have a common ancestry. Whether we settled in the Western Hemisphere early on, whether we remained on the continent later on, or whether we were part of the groups that were enslaved and brought to North America and Central America and the Caribbean. We are a common people. What the problem is that I see is that we have been brainwashed into being ashamed to recognize ourselves, to self-identify as having anything to do with Africa. And so we settle upon the term black, but that doesn't connect us to the land. It doesn't connect us to a culture. It doesn't connect us to a history. Now, if I understand your question correctly, Sister Nanana, in the way that you identify, you still are connecting black folks to a land base, to a culture, and to a language. And that's the point that ultimately we want to get to, because it is in that common culture, in those values, that our power to overcome our present condition, in my view, that's where it rests. So I'll stop there and hear more from you.
Well, thank you for your response. And yes, I do definitely support that we must never disconnect ourselves from our culture. We have already had our language taken away, which has been extremely devastating, but that we must maintain an identity with a culture. And for us right now, it's a struggle. I see that we are going into another phase of growth. The term black was not one, I judge, that we chose for ourselves, but one that was given to us or put upon us. And so as we move forward in the future, I think the question does seriously become, how do we want to self-identify? And we definitely need to, and we need to self-identify in such a way that we are connected to the land, because we are present on every landmass that there is. And what that means is that as the Aboriginal people on the landmass, that we are really the caretakers or the owners of the land, and that all of the quote-unquote white or Europeans who are here are invaders or colonizers who have illegally taken possession of the land, and at some point it should come back to us. So, you know, I don't have a definite answer for that, but I see it as something that needs to be resolved, and I see at some point going forward that very possibly we will not refer to ourselves as black, for one major reason, because from a legal standpoint, the term black and the term minority means one who cannot care for themselves, one who is a underling. And that's actually written in some laws and in some definitions of laws. So it's a heavy process that we are needing to go through to determine terminology that truly has meaning and that connects us to the land. And thank you for letting me respond.
Thank you, Sister Nanana. Brother Kimbizi, Sister Nanana, we thank you so much. And family members, please take heed in the value. A major part of this call is for Ulu continuing education, and we must continue the education so that we can move our people away from confusion and into greater clarity about everything, including to self-identify. And as Sister Nanana mentioned, the legalities, we need to pay attention in the world that we're living in, the legalities of things, so that we can maximize our benefits. We're going to take a break, and any other comments or questions when we come back from the break, you can reach us at 929-477-2789, 929-477-2789, and also you can reach us by Blog Talk Radio on the internet, and we will be right back. And thank you once again, Sister Nanana and Brother Kimbizi, for we need to have those conversations and have it just like we had it and be sitting in the Garden of Peace. Family members, we want to continue on with our call, and we want to return back to our Dare to Win, Us Lifting Us Radio call. And My name is Brother Thurman, and we are also talking with a co-host, Brother Kimbizi, on the topic, We Are an African People. And once again, you can reach us if you, with questions or comments about the topic, as well as about us lifting us as a major economic program that we are continuing to build. The telephone number is 929-477-2789, 929-477-2789, and press 1 on your phone, your keypad, when you are ready with questions or comments. And if you are not able to reach us tonight by phone, make sure that you go to our website, and that is usliftingus.com, usliftingus.com, spelled USLIFTINGUS.com. Brother Kimbizi, I understand that black people must build our own institutions and our own economy. So why can't we just build black capitalist corporations like Bob Johnson, who started BET, or like Dr. Dre and his Beats company? Why does Us Lifting Us push for a cooperative form of business?
Brother Thurman, that's an excellent question. And it goes to the core of the economic crisis in the black community, as well as the global economic crisis. Let me share three critical points in response to your question. When we open cooperative businesses that we own and control, we are taking control of the means of production and putting these means of production once again into the hands of black African descended people. Amilcar Cabral said that national liberation is only achieved when all the productive forces have been completely freed from all foreign domination. In other words, to be truly free means we must control the means of production, and this means controlling our own economy. Black people, black workers, black communities, once again, are in control of the means of production and thereby able to return to making our own history again as a distinct people. In other words, we only make history when we control the means of production via controlling our own economy. Otherwise, we are participating in the making of history of others who control the means of production. Think about that. The second point is that only a cooperative business model gives us the power to transfer ownership of the means of production and the control of the economy from a handful of private individual owners, the 1%, to community ownership or collective ownership, which is to say majority ownership of the economy. And ideally, we are talking about a scenario where 95% of the economy is community owned and the wealth is distributed to the majority of the people and enjoyed by all, not just a few hundred families at the top of the social pyramid like we have in America and Europe today. Thirdly, and most importantly, the ULU cooperative model allows for our people to build a society where African values are the guiding principles of communal and individual living. Let me break this down. An economy is where the philosophy of a nation is manifested or lived out or takes material form and concrete expression. African people historically believe in God or spirit. We believe in family and community. We believe in cooperation, working together, looking out for one another. We are peaceable and peace-loving. We are generous. Our philosophical outlook can be summed up by the terms truth, justice, righteousness, order, balance, harmony, and reciprocity. These values or principles require a particular kind of economy if they are to be lived out day to day, and only a cooperative economy can do that. Let me say that again. These values or principles require a particular kind of economy if they are to be lived out day to day, and only a cooperative economy can do that. Capitalism as an economic system, for example, is based upon the values of materialism, individualism, competition, violence, militarism, and racism. Donald Trump is the perfect representative of capitalist culture, and those people who support him are saying that they value the same things he does. So when Sister Nanana mentioned indigenous peoples of African descent living on every landmass on the planet, that is very true. And also that everywhere that African descended people have lived in community on the planet, these values have been practiced. So what we're trying to get back to by forming a cooperative economy that is collectively owned and controlled by our people, we're trying to get back to creating a reality where these values of spirit, of cooperation, of sharing the wealth, are the guidelines, and that is what is practiced by the people living in harmony on the planet. So let me pause here to see if there are any questions or comments from the audience. I did see one additional caller light up the dashboard, Brother Thurman. Maybe you see it too.
Yes, I do. Thank you so much. Let us allow the caller.
Hello.
Just a minute. If you've got any background noise, can you mute that background noise for the quality of the call? This is last four numbers, 5259. Welcome to the call, and please give us your name and tell us where you're calling from.
This is Brother Jelani Ukwele. I might need to go ahead and call you at another time because I am driving this truck. Is it too loud?
Give us your question or comment. Definitely welcome you to the call.
Okay, well, thank you. Good to talk with y'all and hear from y'all. I wanted to say a couple of things. One thing is that either way you look at it, about every term that we call ourselves, there's some advantage to it that the other one probably doesn't have. So I think that we're always going to find ourselves, you know, calling ourselves different things. But I want to go ahead and throw into the mix the fact that they say that our people came with the earth, and I'd like to know, is it possible for us to identify any landmass on the earth where we were not the originals and that we therefore cannot claim? Because I think we end up, you know, talking or claiming, just like America, over other areas that we might have. Oh, man, sorry about the GPS. I'll make it quick. We claim America because maybe America is just so valued in our hearts over any other place, and we are from everywhere. I mean, we found it everywhere, as far as I know. I'll go ahead and get off the call and listen to y'all.
Thank you so much, Brother Jelani. Brother, can respond to the comments that Brother Jelani just made?
Yeah, it was, and thank you, Brother Jelani. Really appreciate your comment. And what we're saying is that we want to create an economic system that is global, that allows African-descended people to flourish everywhere we live. So whether we're on the continent, whether we're in the Caribbean, whether we're on the North American mainland, whether we are in Canada, no matter where we are, we want to participate in an economic system, a global system that allows us to practice the values that we have practiced since the beginning of civilization. That's the heart of the matter in terms of why we are building a cooperative economy that enables the majority of the Earth's population to experience the abundance of the planet, as opposed to being caught up in an economic model that extracts the wealth and funnels it to 1% at the top of the social pyramid. That's the dilemma that African descended people are facing no matter where we live on planet Earth. And so we understand that creating an economy that is family-centered, community-controlled, community-owned, is the first step in allowing ourselves to take control of our economic destiny. Brother Thurman, you have some additional thoughts on that?
Well, I'm certainly in agreement with what you're saying, brother. We've got to create that, and now more than ever, we must create that. And as you and I touched on before the call began, we've been in a state of emergency forever, even though we're helping to make our people aware, because large numbers of our people are not aware that we're in a state of emergency. And then we have this person in Washington that's threatening to declare what he would call a legal state of emergency, but it has embedded in it, even if it's just from an economic agenda that it would be operated from, but it has some similarities to a martial law. And so now more than ever, what you were just talking about, and you, when you earlier compared the reality of the cooperative model that ULU has in place versus the cruelty of the capitalistic model, it's the only way for us to go, and it's the way that will put us in a position of power that we can survive and stop being in this state of emergency and state of being brutalized and killed and just leading towards just the ultimate, the complete elimination of African people on the planet.
You're so right. And, you know, I was thinking earlier today, Brother Thurman, that I grew up in New York City. I was born in Brooklyn. I grew up in Queens. And in elementary school, one of the field trips that just about every classroom went to, if you lived in the New York City vicinity, you made a trip to the Empire State Building. And for those sisters and brothers on the call who are from New York, you know that the license tag for New York State is the Empire State. So I grew up thinking very positively about empire. I thought empire was something to emulate and to aspire to. I didn't understand until I got into high school and started looking at how America and Europeans have gone all over the world dominating other countries, other nations, other people via force, the gun, and chemical warfare and biological warfare and economic warfare, and just controlling and taking all the resources and the wealth from these different places, and like pirates, and bringing the booty back to the United States and living in the lap of luxury. So that is the problem that we are facing globally. We are aggressed upon because we are melanated people, and we, in the process of extricating ourselves from this system, we can't continue to participate in the system, because participating in the system only perpetuates our domination and control. We have to break out of it. We have to create an alternative. And in creating that alternative, it has to go to the root or the base of that alternative society, which is a different economy. And that is why we stress the need to build a cooperative economy. And the key point of the cooperative economy is that every member has one vote, so that we pool our resources. We use those pooled resources to open small, medium, and mid-range and large businesses. And in the decision-making about how we run those businesses, every member has one vote. So it is democratic, it is egalitarian, and it allows us to practice the values that make us a very powerful and potent people. So that's the crux of why we have to make the argument to build a cooperative economy rather than a capitalist economy. To build an economy that is owned and controlled by the majority of the society rather than allowing an economy that is controlled by 1%, where all the wealth is sucked to the top and millions and billions of people live on the verge of poverty each and every day, and a system that is extremely violent, because that's the only way it can maintain itself. It has to have a culture that celebrates perpetual war, that celebrates guns, that celebrates violence, that denigrates women and children and people of color. That's the world that the Trump and his supporters have created for themselves. That's the world they want to maintain for themselves. And our work is to build an alternative that allows us to live free and peaceably, and to protect ourselves at the same time. A cooperative economic model does those things for us. Let me pause there, Brother Thurman.
Yes, brother. Thank you so much. Family members, we're going to take a short break, a very short break, and we will be right back. Family members, we welcome you back to the call. We want to continue with our call tonight, the Us Lifting Us Dare to Win program. And tonight's conversation is about, in part, We Are an African People. I am your host, Brother Thurman, and also co-host with us tonight is Brother Kambizi. Brother Kambizi, let's continue on with your comments and where you left off, and some other additional information that you want to provide for the callers tonight.
Certainly, Brother Thurman. Two quick things. One, let me just say that the other piece that we have to understand about capitalism, and we talked about this on a previous show, I think when Sister Nanana was the guest. Under capitalism, all hourly wage jobs, whether they pay $2 an hour or $25 an hour, are a form of slavery. This is not chattel slavery as our people endured from 1619 until 1865. This is upgraded slavery, wage slavery. Workers clock in at 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning and work until 4 or 5 p.m., putting in a typical 8-hour day, and at the end of the week they receive a paycheck. What they are not told is that their work generated a surplus or profit for the company far in excess of what they were paid, hundreds and thousands times more than what they were paid. The owners pay out their wages and keep the balance of that surplus for themselves as profits. This is organized theft. If the workers wise up to this game and protest, oftentimes they are fired. To protect themselves and to fight for higher wages, better benefits, and safer working conditions, workers organize themselves into unions. But the company owners use their stolen wealth to buy the politicians, who then enact laws that weaken or cripple the union so that the workers find themselves in 2018 earning wages that have not risen in real dollars since the 1970s, while company profits are off the charts. This is labor exploitation, plain and simple. It doesn't matter whether the owners are white or black. The workers are not paid the full value of their work. Contrast that to a cooperative system where the workers are also the owners of the company, and as such, they receive an hourly wage plus a quarterly dividend or profit share. In other words, they receive the full value of their contribution to the company. Just imagine, for example, General Motors announced a few weeks ago that they will be closing 3 auto plants in 2019 and laying off 14,000 workers. In a cooperative economy, because the workers and the community own, for example, General Motors, rather than laying off the workers and devastating those towns, they could produce more environmentally friendly products such as electric cars, retrain the workers for future technology. There are many number of alternatives to closing the plants and laying off workers, but General Motors, in order to produce maximum profit for its shareholders, drives a dagger into the hearts of the workers and the community so that the rich can get richer. So we really must build a cooperative economy to protect us, and quiet as it's kept, to protect the planet. So what we are saying, all of this is to summarize that we as an African people, when we declare that we are reconnecting ourselves to a landmass, the birthplace of our origin, we are reconnecting ourselves to our culture, which provides us with a worldview and a value system. It reconnects us to our history and helps us to understand how we got here and what we must do going forward. So as we shift gears and begin to talk specifically about how do you become a member of Us Lifting Us, we would ask you to visit our webpage, usliftingus.com, uslifting us.com, usliftingus.com. Take your time. Look at our value statement. Look at our winning plan. If this is something that makes sense to you, if what we're saying on these Thursday night broadcasts resonates with your spirit, if this projects a vision of the kind of world and reality you would like for yourself and your children, then we invite you to click on the Join tab at the top of the page and give us that information about yourself. To join Us Lifting Us, there's a $50 sign-up fee. And then after you become more familiar with the plan and what we are planning and doing, then we ask you to purchase a co-op unit, which is $1,000. That's the money that enables us to pool the resources so that we can open businesses, small, medium, and large scale, which we own collectively, and practice a family-centered economic outlook where we take care of each and every member of our community. We create jobs. We have resources to support educational systems and healthcare, and we return a portion of that back to our members in the form of a dividend. It's a winning plan, and it will work when we work it. Let me pause and see if there are any questions or comments, Brother Thurman.
Right. right at the moment, Brother Kim Beasley, we do not have any questions or comments. But family members, we do absolutely encourage you. We're not too proud to beg you to take down the information of usliftingus.com, usliftingus.com. And if write down your thoughts, your comments, we want you to inquire with us, ask questions, because we want you to be a part and join in with us as one that would be a member, a qualified member that has a say-so. And if you do not call in tonight, make sure you go to the website and you can leave, you can fill out a form and inquiries and have someone from Us Lifting Us reach you. And you can also call us at 404-592-2780. That's Us Lifting Us, 404-592-2780. And you can email us at info@usliftingus.com. That's info, I-N-F-O, at usliftingus.com. And Brother Kimbizi, would you, in the interest of the time and to give us our family members and especially new people on the call, further information about Us Lifting Us. Tell us about when you get to Cafe Ulu, and also tell us about the upcoming annual members convention.
Thank you, Brother Thurman. You already mentioned Cafe Ulu, which is an internet lounge and coffee house that Us Lifting Us launched 2 years ago. At 2036 Sylvan Road in Atlanta. For our listeners that are in Metro Atlanta, we invite you, we encourage you to come by Cafe Ulu, purchase a cup of coffee, a pastry, sit down, enjoy the music, join the conversation. We envision Cafe Ulu to be a meeting place where our culture and our values are on display, where we model for our community what a cooperative business looks like, where the workers are members of the co-op, where the community surrounding us, Cafe Ulu, are owners of the co-op. So Cafe Ulu is jointly owned by the workers and the community. In other words, when you as a member of Us Lifting Us step into Cafe Ulu, you're stepping into your own business. It's a very different and it's a new feel. We're so accustomed to stepping into businesses that are owned and operated by other communities and other ethnic groups, and we think nothing about that. We see them behind the counter practicing their culture, speaking their language, serving us food or beauty care products or doing nails, whatever the service is. Those services are being provided to us by other ethnic communities. When you step into Cafe Ulu, we begin to see our people providing a service and a product to us, so that we begin to understand that part of our work going forward is to open more and more businesses that we control, create the jobs for our people, and create an environment where our culture is practiced. That reinforces our own self-identity, and it provides a place of pride for our children when they step inside it. Oh, our people can run businesses too. And they begin to have a higher vision of what we can be and do in the world. Cafe Ulu, again, is located at 2036 Sylvan Road in Atlanta, Georgia. And so please do stop by and spend some time with us and share the vision and invite others to come with you. Make it a meeting spot. When you get ready to have a informal gathering, tell your friends, yeah, let's meet at Cafe Ulu, and we'll talk about it at Cafe Ulu. One of the reasons that we launched Cafe Ulu is not only to create an internet lounge and a social space. Many of us were surprised to find out that coffee as a commodity is the second highest traded commodity internationally, second only to oil. Also, that the coffee that we serve in Cafe Ulu is sourced from Africa. It's fair trade coffee. It's African workers getting paid a fair share for their labor. The coffee comes to us from Cameroon, from Ethiopia, from Kenya, and so these are African coffees. As a matter of fact, coffee as a beverage began in Africa. Many of us didn't know that. So that this is us recapturing our culture and our history and our tradition, creating a business around it, and meeting needs and generating an economy by trading this commodity. So when you come to Cafe Ulu, you are helping to build the black economy. So come once and come often. The last thing that I want to share and make sure that all of you are aware of, mark this date, March 15th, 16th, and 17th, 2019, is the Us Lifting Us annual convention and meeting. This year it's being held at the ITC campus as part of the Atlanta University campus, 700 ML King Boulevard. That's ITC, the Interdenominational Theological Center. It's the Morehouse School of Religion campus, college on the Atlanta University campus. So that's 700 MLK Drive, March 15th, 16th, and 17th. You're invited to come and help us conduct the business of planning how we grow our own economy and build our own institutions going into 2019, 2020, and beyond. And there's some exciting things going on globally, the Pan-African Federalist Movement, for one thing. Black folks are on the move, building institutions around the world, and it's all coming together. And Us Lifting Us is a dynamic part of this global movement. So you want to be a part of this. March 15th, 16th, and 17th. Mark your calendars. Plan to be with us on those dates. Brother Thurman, what closing words would you share with our audience?
Well, I'd like to just share related to Cafe Ulu. Cafe Ulu, please, if you have not done so, go to the Facebook page for Cafe Ulu. That's CAFEULU.com, CafeUlu.com. So that you can get a feel for what Cafe Ulu is about, and also for that they post their events that they're having on a regular basis. Many events, you know, they on Tuesdays they have chess for all ages, and this past Tuesday they had children, and their children that were actually in the game with adults and of all ages. And then there's musical events, and there's cultural events, there's events teaching about our finances. Every Saturday, Us Lifting Us does a presentation and with various and bringing forth various aspects and benefits of Us Lifting Us. So go to CafeUlu.com so that you can stay in the flow with events. That's on the CafeUlu.com Facebook page, and also Us Lifting Us is also on the Facebook page. Go to both pages and like those pages. And if you have not join Us Lifting Us, if you have not applied, because you do need to apply for membership, it's not automatic, please go to the usliftingus.com and go through the online presentations, and there's three videos that you'll see on the right-hand side. Make sure that you go through them, go through the site, inquire, and also you can reach out to us and just leave your contact information, and we will make sure that we will call you back to give you further information. And we thank you so much for being on the call. Make sure that you pass the word to to all of the sisters and brothers wherever you are in the world. Us Lifting Us is worldwide. There's more than 500 sisters and brothers in the U.S., the Caribbean, South America, and throughout Africa and throughout Europe and Asia that are already members of Us Lifting Us. This is for us. And I'd like to just say our brother Baba Hakima said to us, have the courage to go inside your spirit and determine if Us Lifting Us is good for African people. If you determine that that ULU or Us Lifting Us is good for our people, we invite you to join us. Apply for membership at usliftingus.com. We thank you so much for being on the call. Brother Kambize, we thank you so much with the wonderful information that our people need, and we thank all of our callers, including Sister Nanana and Brother Jelani and all of the callers that are on the line listening. And we will be back next Thursday. Make sure you put it on your calendar, keep it on your calendar, and also on the web page, usliftingus.com, you can also set it to remind you about our upcoming calls as well as the other events, including the annual convention and members meeting. Thank you so much for being with us, and we're closing out.
Peace, Brother Thurman.
Peace, brother.